Welcome back to episode 5 of the Merge Feast. I'm Blake, joined with Logan and Brandon. Welcome back, guys.
How's it going?
Let's go.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but once again, I feel like we're going to say this every week, but another great episode and a bit refreshing, if I do say so myself. I feel like the last couple episodes, it was really just kind of harping on one player. I don't want to go back into all that, but we really got some new gameplay this week, and I think it really set up the kind of really set the tone for next week. And bit of a spoiler, does look like next week is the merge. So this week was all kind of preparation for a big change in the game next week, which I'm incredibly excited about. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, absolutely excited for a little bit of a change. I would agree with you on this week's episode was a great episode, but also, like you said, a nice kind of refreshing episode. I think there was a lot that kind of went on and had a lot of, like you said, build up for what's to come. And so we got to see kind of a breakdown of one of the tribes that hasn't seen tribal yet, and that kind of unfold. So I'm excited to go through that with you guys. But all in all, great episode.
Yeah, I will honestly echo a lot of what you guys said. Refreshing episode. Yanu, I mean, finally won, and we got to see another tribe have to actually strategize and play the game. So that was actually fun and different. But I'm with you guys next week. It looks like the merge is happening, and that for me is when the game really gets started. So looking forward to it.
I don't remember who said it this week, but somebody had said it's crazy that 11 days in and we're just now starting to play the game, or we're about to start playing the game. It may have been somebody from NAMI. I forget who it was, but it's like, that's kind of crazy when this season is only, what, 26 days now? Is that right? 26 days?
Yeah.
So, gosh, 11 days in and you haven't even really had to play yet? I mean, you're obviously playing the game, but as far as voting anybody out and tribal and... It's wild.
Yeah, and I think what's unique about this season, and Jeff actually brought it up, was Yanu set a record for 11 days without Flint in the new era, and that means that they literally didn't win an immunity challenge for the entirety of the season so far. So, like, literally the only tribe that has had to actually play the game is Yanu. NAMI and Siga haven't had to do that, and looks like one of them isn't going to have to play the game until the merge.
For sure.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm with you. So I've got two things there. One, I don't know that it's a good thing, because the way it's ended up, Siga went to tribal council and voted somebody out. So it's 5-5. So it's not like, or 5-5-3. So it's not like NAMI has the majority by a long shot, or even by a slim margin. They're even with everybody because of the medical evacuation. So even though they haven't had to play the game, that hasn't really come to be in their favor. But Brandon, question for you, I guess for both of you, but I feel like you remember past seasons better than all of us. How does this compare? Because it seems eerily similar to Lulu last season. And I feel like we ran into this already. So I was surprised to hear Jeff talk about the records being broken there. Because I thought last season was just as bad, if not worse.
The only thing I because I thought the same thing. I mean, it's been easy to compare Yanu and Lulu because they both tribes have kind of had the same journey in Survivor. And I think that Lulu might have won with four players remaining. I think maybe they didn't. Was it because it was Emily, Caleb, and Sean left, right? When they did the tribe swap, or was there a fourth in there still?
Thought there was only three left, but maybe the difference is they didn't have a medical evacuation that saved somebody for an extra day.
Could have been, or just challenges lined up differently in days. I don't 100% know if the schedule is the same from season to season.
Well, did
they also had a reward season challenge that was separate? I doubt that would be on the same day. Sorry to cut you off, Logan. True.
No, you're good. And that's what I was going to say is if they win a reward challenge, does that mean they get Flint at that point, or does it have to be immunity? So because
it has to be immunity, but if they're going to do a reward challenge, that's going to, like, you're not going to do the reward challenge and an immunity challenge that are two separate challenges on the same day. So that probably
True.
Adds an extra day. So it might have been as simple as like Lulu did 9 or 10 days without Flint, and Yanu did 11.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about the similarities there for a while, because it is eerily similar between the two seasons, just with one tribe being on the bottom. And I hate that that we've had two back to back. It is entertaining, but I don't really like it for the game. Feel like that really puts one tribe at a huge disadvantage going into the merge, but I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you guys think about of that.
I mean, I think it obviously is a little bit of a disadvantage because you're going in with obviously less people. But like we saw last season, the three that went into the merge were still in the game at the very, very end. So it's not like they got voted off right away. It's a disadvantage because you don't have as many people, but I also think it's a little bit of an advantage, especially this season where the other teams haven't had to go to tribal, minus, Siga this week, but they haven't had to go to tribal and start playing that game and get the alliances and kind of nail that down to where these three are tight and they've had that relationship. And so going into it, I think they've, like we talked, started playing the game earlier. And so they've got that momentum. So yes, disadvantage, but I honestly think it's a little bit of an advantage as well.
Yeah, actually, that's very well said. I think it is a little bit of both. I think the disadvantage is that you are going into the merge without numbers. I think the advantage to that is you could go into the merge if you're Yanu kind of as free agents if you wanted to. Hey, you know, who needs an extra vote? I can be that guy for you. And Q, probably foreshadowing to what we're going to talk about later, Q was kind of doing that on the journey. He was trying to set himself up post-merge with Hunter and Tim, and was like setting up a plan like, hey, I got one, you got one. You got one. That's six of us that we can take this thing to the end if we want to. So it's already kind of happening.
For sure.
And that's one thing that I noted down kind of throughout this episode, and we can dive into it more. But I feel like Q is really trying to think ahead and playing the game really well. That point and then another spot in the episode. But I feel like he's been thinking and playing ahead as much as possible. And I love seeing that.
He's been looking out for himself. I've noticed that in multiple episodes where he's like, even as simple as like, yeah, the vote tonight should be Banu, but I kind of want to go after Kinsey, and, you know, because that's better for me. And he's done that. You've seen him do that multiple times where he's not necessarily like ditching his tribe or his alliances, but he's just trying to make sure that he is going to be set up for the long term. And yeah, I like it
for sure. No, absolutely. He's playing very, very well, and not in a way that I think will get him into trouble. Because it's one thing to play really well and then realize that, oh man, that's going to put a target on my back as soon as merge time comes. But I mean, he'll obviously have a target because he's strong, but as far as the social side of things, I don't think he's putting any bigger of a target on his back by the way he's setting himself up.
No, and I think he, from what I've seen, I think he's been able to, in a way, fool or use his emotions in a really good way. Obviously, we saw some kind of downside emotions to him whenever they were losing a ton and all, but this week he talked with Kinsey and was like, I'm thinking about quitting, and like, just like totally serious, like very believable, and I think she truly believed him. And I honestly kind of was like, oh my gosh, like, dude, come on, man, like this is the second time.
I thought of that that GTA meme when he started talking about quitting. I'm like, ah, here we go again.
Yep. But I was like, come on, like, no, don't quit. You're playing a great game. And then he turns around and is like, I just want her to think that. So blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, he is thinking ahead, playing that, like playing sure. well. So,
for yeah. sure. Well, before we hop into the challenge, let's just kind of, I mean, it's been a good portion of the first half an hour talking about or kind of going through each individual tribe. So we'll kind of start with Yanu and then work our way through. But I kind of thought not only was Q in a really good spot, kind of setting that up, but Tiffany is in a really good spot as well. And in a tough spot, especially if they would have had to go back to tribal, because she seems to be just as close to Kinsey as she is Q. But man, she's playing really well. She's playing really well also. And I am very, very excited to see her in the merge. I think she could be a huge target really quickly, or she could make it pretty far.
Yeah, I actually think she's going to make it pretty far. I think the player that is actually going to have to look out is Kinsey, just because she seems to have like this likability to her that could end up being seen as a threat by others. But to your point about if Yanu had gone to tribal tonight, it would have been a really tough spot for Tiffany, but she would have had to feel good because she kind of would have had the power, because it would have been Kinsey pitching Q and Q pitching Kinsey.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hot take, and I could be completely wrong on this, but completely wrong in the sense of we haven't seen some of the other teams having to be as strategic and play as much. But would you guys agree or argue that the Yanu tribe, those three, are maybe some of the strongest players this season?
I mean, I would definitely put all three of them in the strong player camp. None of them fall into the weaker side of things, which we still have a lot of weaker players, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, since we've seen the three of them a lot, more than anybody else, yeah, I have seen enough to feel like they are definitely the three, not, I don't know if they're the three strongest players, but they are definitely up there. I mean, it's especially considering who was in their tribe, like mm-hmm. the fact that they survived that. But there's several players on this season that are strong. It's actually like, I know we'll see their stories shine even more when we get to the merge, but there's a lot of really strong players this game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the other players kind of emerge out and like kind of show what how they're going to play. But so far, absolutely at the top for me of like the best players. Obviously, like you said, I know we have a lot of other really strong players as well, but they've definitely caught my eye. Like they could be here for a while if they play it well.
When do they normally merge? Does this seem early to anybody else?
I think they typically merge when there's 13 players remaining, and that would be right now. So, this feels right.
Okay. Maybe it just feels like it's going by really quickly. I mean, I guess it is episode 5 already, but man, which, it's flying by.
I was thinking that whenever they teased the merge, I was like, already? Because I like, that's like, I like pre-merge Survivor, but I just am like, can we skip past this and get to the merge? So like, sure. Now that it's already here, like, wow.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Yanu. Do you want to talk about Nami next?
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think of when everybody started looking for the idol on Nami except for Liz?
Thought it was kind of an interesting choice. I didn't understand why she wouldn't necessarily look for an idol, especially if everybody else is. I don't know. I thought it was kind of lazy, and
That was kind of my thing. I'm like, it's not like it would have put a target on your back because everybody else was out looking for it anyway. Unless you just really don't think you're the type of person that can find it, but which she kind of alluded to, but you're playing Survivor. You're not going to get a lot of chances to go idol hunting, especially like kind of given permission to, because everybody's doing it. So, yeah, that was weird. Missed opportunity, honestly, by her.
Sure. Absolutely.
For sure. I was right there with you, but then I don't know why, but this week was the first week I thought, I, as annoyed as I can get with Liz for just talking about how rich she is and not going to look for idols and doesn't really seem like she really wants to be there, at least at the same level as somebody like a Hunter, for instance, who is like all about Survivor, even in his personal life. But this was the first week that I thought, I actually kind of like Liz in a, like, she's just who she is and she's not being fake about it. It's just, this is me and I'm kind of quirky and I'm different and I don't care. And it didn't annoy me as much this week as it has past weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It definitely didn't annoy me. I just, you hear so many people talk about like, I'm on Survivor. Of course I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. So just thought, you know,
for sure.
It's different that she didn't. And again, to say what you said, she is who she is and she doesn't feel like she needs to do that to have her experience. So, you know, good for her.
So speaking of looking for idols, Hunter found it.
And of course.
Yeah, it had me hooked for a minute and then I thought, oh no, he's not going to find it. And then he ended up finding it. So that was kind of an interesting interaction between him and Venus. They, as much as I would love to see them get together and work together, because I think they're both very, very good, does not sound like that's going to happen. And she doesn't trust him. He doesn't really like her. So that was kind of a fun interaction. But then the fact that Hunter found it and has lost his vote until the tribe loses, that'll come into play here in a little bit on the journey. But were you guys excited to see that Hunter got the Beware advantage?
Yeah, Hunter is slowly but quickly becoming kind of one of my favorites. I think he's got a ton of potential. Obviously, a big challenge threat to, I think, he is starting to see some of the strategic side, but clearly a Survivor kind of nerd, I guess you could say. Enjoys Survivor a lot and all, but I'm excited that he got it.
Yeah, I'm excited that he got it because he's been a fun player to watch. But I kind of was, I kind of wanted Venus to get it for a couple reasons. One, it seems like the rest of the tribe didn't want her to get it, and that's always funny to me when the outcast gets the thing that nobody wants them to have. But
for sure,
I also wanted her to have it because she was in on it when Randon got it the first time. So it would have been kind of cool to see her be able to get it back after losing it. But I'm happy for Hunter. He's playing a great game, and him having this is just, you know, building up what's already honestly a pretty nice resume if he makes it to the end.
Sure.
Should he use it correctly? Because I mean, if we look at how I talked about advantages last season, like an advantage is only good if you actually use it properly. So if he uses it in a way that can propel his game forward, then I'll be happy for him.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's becoming harder and harder to do just as gameplay gets better and better on knowing when and how to use your advantage to propel you forward in the game or to save you from the game. So often it either gets used and it's useless, or it doesn't get used when it should have been and costs you the game. Example tonight.
Exactly.
Ooh. So, okay. So Nami, what about Siga? What'd you guys think of kind of the whole dichotomy between Charlie and Ben and the girls thinking Charlie and Ben are getting close? What'd you guys think of all that?
I think they obviously had to start playing the game this week. I think Charlie and Ben, that kind of starting up, I think that's a really good thing, and I like that. I think them two together is a lot of fun to watch. I think Charlie and, is it Marie or Maria, them being right in the middle and able to kind of choose where they want to go, I think they're in a really great spot, and so that side of things is great. Jim, obviously, kind of with the idol and planting that somewhere else and all that she's had to go through, it's been interesting to see how she's kind of played through that. But we definitely saw them start playing the game this week.
Yeah, it's interesting because like they have been the Vibe Tribe, as they've called themselves, and they haven't even had to ask the question of whose name do I put down tonight. So it was interesting to kind of see how they came to the conclusions that they did. Like Charlie and Ben are together, and then all the girls are together, and Maria and Charlie trying to figure out, should we go with Ben? Should we go with Jim? And trying to like navigate through who would be the better player to send home. Definitely was not happy that Ben's name came up, because he's honestly been one of my favorite players this season. But definitely there's an interesting dynamic in that tribe that we finally kind of got to see tonight.
Yeah, it was a fun episode for the Siga tribe. I guess not for them specifically. Spoiler, they go to tribal, but a fun episode for us to see into that tribe a little bit and see them start playing. It really seemed like this episode they kind of twisted and turned Jim into kind of a villain-esque character. Kind of really, really highlighting the hiding of the fake idol and just the way she was asking questions on who are you voting for? I won't flip. Give me all your answers.
Look in the eye.
Yeah, kind of turned into a bit of a villain. And but then on the flip side, I mean, how awesome is Charlie right now? I mean, everybody seems to love the kid, and I don't know Charlie by any means. I don't know his backstory really other than what I've read, but he strikes me as somebody who may not have had a ton of self-confidence. Maybe like middle school, high school, may have found himself, you know, kind of at where he's at now. And I don't even know how old he is, but he seems like he's really coming into his own and just like, man, this is me. And just being authentic, and people are gravitating towards him. I mean, Mariah said he is like the coolest, like most down to earth, awesome guy that she has ever met. Maria teaming up with him, him getting close to Ben. I mean, he's in a great spot. Could get him into trouble, but I don't know. It was just kind of cool to see. You had Jim kind of turn into that villain ish and Charlie kind of turn into like, man, I'm kicking ass kind of thing. Like, I don't know. It was a cool moment.
Yeah. Do you think that Jim was being that way because of the Beware Advantage stuff? Or do you think there was actual kind of like paranoia going on? Or do you think that she thought that they were on to her?
I don't know.
I honestly think that she was trying to, or I don't think that they thought that she was on, or they were onto her. Ugh, that was awful. I honestly think it had to do with the Beware Advantage and trying to figure out if she needed to play it or not.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, she was kind of, I gotcha.
Figure out, do I need to play it? Do I not? And trying to get information that way.
That makes sense.
That's kind of what I was thinking as well.
Yeah.
But she was pushing hard, and I think it honestly was way too hard, and they clearly saw what she was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hop into the challenge. I know we've alluded to a handful of things here, but Brandon, I'll let you take us through the challenge, but correct me if I'm wrong. This is one that we saw almost identical to last season, correct?
I think this is a mirror image of a challenge we saw last season. Because I remember talking about whenever they were getting the bags, having to untie the bags, I was like, how do they even know where to go in that thing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get into it. So, again, we saw this this challenge last season. Each player has to go through an obstacle course and untie two bags that have keys in them. And then once they get through that obstacle course, they have to open those bags, find the right key that opens up a hook, a pole that has a hook on it, and they have to untangle some rope, and that's going to drop sandbags. And then you're going to have a giant slingshot, and you're going to, each member of your tribe has to hit a target down with a slingshot, or with a sandbag and the slingshot, and first two teams to win that win immunity, and reward is also up for grabs, and it is just food. So what do you guys think? I mean, obviously it was the same challenge we saw last season, so wasn't anything new, and I personally am not a huge fan of when they do that, but
You're not a huge fan of when they use challenges that they've used before?
Like back-to-back seasons. Like, gotcha. Obviously they use challenges that they've used before or variations of challenges, but I'm just like, we literally just saw this a season ago. So
for sure,
could have at least done something different along the way. But I think the big standout for this challenge was the fact that Yanu finally won immunity.
For sure. For sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, one other difference that I thought might have been slightly different is at the very end. Do you remember if last season everybody had to hit a target?
If
I remember correctly, I do believe that that was the case okay. last season as well.
Because I've seen that a handful of times where somebody has had to do each part of that challenge, or mm-hmm. everybody has had to do some part of it. And I couldn't remember if that was the same like this challenge or not, but I'm with you. Back to back seemed like, oh man, it felt like we just watched this episode or this challenge, but it was one of my favorite challenges from last season. So I was okay with it. I would like to see some twist or variation to it, but I like the challenge, and Yanu was coming from behind the entire time. They pulled ahead for a minute and they fell right back behind. And it was a fun one to watch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Q was stuck on the untangling of the sandbags for what felt like an eternity.
Yeah. I don't know if he was like what, like was stuck there or what, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is where like they've always just been so close. They were in it the entire time. This is where they lost it. And then as soon as he got it and they got up there to do the slingshot and Siga hadn't knocked down anything yet, I was like, okay, it's game on, let's go. So
yeah. And so Nami won. They were the first to win. It came down to Siga and Yanu, and they both had one target left, and it was between Q and Tim, and they did this awesome slow-mo shot for when Q hit the last target and gave Yanu immunity. But I wanted to bring this up before the challenge. So whenever Jeff, you know, he explains, like, you know, first two win immunity, the third tribe is, you know, called the loser. And he had, when he said that, he had the other tribes fill in the blank. He's like, the third tribe is the loser. And Jeff was like, wow, I thought you guys were going to say Yanu. And
their reaction was,
they're like, that's crazy, Jeff. And he's like, I'm just saying. And then he got into the record for most days without Flint. But I don't think I've ever seen Jeff like throw shade at a tribe like that before, but it was hilarious.
It was, and it was perfect, and it was just the extra little boost that they needed, I think. I thought it was awesome. I mean, last season was it was last season, right, where we saw Jeff stab the rice in that one challenge and just be just cold-blooded, like kind of old school, like, I don't care, I'm running this. And he was just poking fun at him, but it was in good fun, and they took it well. And yeah, I thought it was awesome.
That's what I was gonna say. I think they clearly have been to tribal the most, obviously, but they have talked to Jeff, and I think they've kind of given off the, like, they've accepted where they're at and like kind of joking about it from time to time. And so, like, I feel like he maybe felt more comfortable to do that. I don't know. Not that he needs to feel comfortable to do that, but it was definitely a great moment.
Yeah. So there was a journey as well.
Yeah. So was it, since Nami won, they got to be in charge of that, but they didn't really take charge of that. They kind of asked for volunteers. So Logan, do you want to talk about who all went and what that journey looked like?
Before we do that, do you think that was just like, we don't want to put any targets on our backs for letting them just volunteer rather than picking people?
What do you mean?
Like, was it just like, we don't want to ruffle any feathers, so you guys just decide who goes from your tribe? Like, or was it just like nothing? Like, we don't care who goes, let's just go to the journey.
I don't know. I kind of took it as I didn't really see how they came to the conclusion of Hunter. I'm a little surprised that they picked Hunter. But it almost sounded like Hunter's the one that came up with the idea of, hey, I'm, you know, okay, who's going to go from SIGA? And he responded really quickly with, any volunteers? And immediately Tim said, yeah, I'll go. Like, how is your tribe not going to say, okay, no, yeah, we want to send this person. No, yeah, if you want to go, they're going to let you go. And then it kind of forced Yanu to say, it seemed like they had already made the decision. Like, hey, we're going to send Q, because I think Tiffany's the one that said that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, I'm leaning towards the side of that was strategic on Hunter's part on, hey, I'm not going to ruffle any feathers, force anybody to go, or, you know, I'm not going to put a target on my back, but I want to see who wants to work with me, because we all know that a conversation is had there.
All right. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Yeah, so they got done with the challenge, thinking that they were getting ready to leave, and Jeff kind of dropped, oh, and Journey. So that's where they had to decide who went. Hunter obviously went, and then Q and Tim went. So get out to the spot for the Journey. They all are kind of talking, and that's where we had kind of mentioned before, where Q was setting up and kind of talking about post-merge of, hey, if like we need to stick together, we're obviously challenged threats, we're going to be looked at, if you can bring one person, like, we've got our numbers, we're good. So had their talk, and then in the Journey, the note was, one person that thinks they have the best survivor knowledge will compete in a challenge to win an advantage, and the other two leave, don't lose their vote, don't do anything. The person that does the challenge, if they complete the challenge, they get the advantage. If they don't, they lose their vote at the next tribal. At the end of the day, Hunter said he felt like he had pretty good knowledge. Hugh and Tim were both good with it. So off Hunter went. Come to find out, the challenge was to put the survivor logos from each season in order from 1 through 20. And obviously has a certain amount of time to do so. If he didn't get it correct, every single one, then he lost his vote at the next tribal. He did not get it correct and lost his next, or his vote, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but he got, what was it, 8 out of 20?
Yeah.
He
was terrible.
And I immediately thought, oh, Brandon would have done that. And then thought, oh, I absolutely would not have been able to do that.
I don't think I would have gotten 3 out of 20, honestly. All of the seasons run together for me, and it impresses me every time you talk about, oh, that was season 14 with so-and-so, and so-and-so got third. You're like the Wikipedia of survivor knowledge, Brandon. You impress me.
Yeah, so I think the thing that would have been hard was it didn't seem like, well, number one, I am not that like good with the logos, but it didn't seem like the seasons were like in consecutive order. I don't think it was like season 1 through 20. I think it was like season 1, 2, 4, 7, 8, 12, 15, 16, 17, 22, 28, 31, 30, you know what I mean? So that would have been really tough to put that together. Because for me, there's a string of seasons in the teens that kind of just like run together for me. So definitely would have been hard. I would have done better than 8 out of 20. I felt like I could have done, you know, 15 to 17, but, you know, which is still a failure for the challenge, but still.
And I guess I didn't mention before, Hunter had kind of talked about like how he got introduced into Survivor, and it was his friend that introduced it to him. And whenever his friend introduced it to him, he was showing him the best seasons and didn't start at the beginning. So Hunter hasn't watched Survivor 1 through 45 or whatever it was in order. So he jumped around. So his order of the seasons was just jumbled. So it was, honestly, I feel like having to get 20 correct is quite a bit. And if you have one wrong, I mean, to lose your vote, obviously those challenges I feel like have been hard, but I thought that one was pretty intense.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you guys thought of that. Those journeys, they've seemed pretty difficult. I mean, we haven't seen... Have we seen one person get anything from it yet?
So this season and last season, I don't think there's been a lot of success. And honestly, I think that players need to probably start to consider if it's worth playing the challenge on a journey when it seems like the most you're going to get is an extra vote. And then it seems like your odds are higher of losing your vote, which... should be like that should be how it is, but the success rate seems really low.
It does seem really low, and I'm curious to see, now that we've had two seasons that are fairly back to back as far as filming goes, because this season hasn't watched last season, correct?
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Yeah,
so I'm curious to see how that gets advanced moving forward. Meaning like how the players take the journey into their strategy, because there is a really good chance that they don't get anything. And not only do they not get anything, they could have a disadvantage. So that's where it's not like the disadvantage is not having an advantage. There's an actual potential to lose your vote, which is the strongest thing you have in the game. So I'm curious to see how that evolves over the next couple seasons, but I'm sure Survivor will evolve along with it and switch it up a little bit. I would like to see some more success with it, I think.
Do you, and then maybe this is too much or thinking about it too deep, but do you think maybe that is kind of the point of this, is to make it a little bit harder to where maybe people don't succeed as much, so tribal councils are more interesting because people don't have as many votes, or there are so many unknowns, to maybe make it more enjoyable for the viewer rather than everybody has their vote, nobody has anything, all right, you have the most numbers, this person's out, to where now Ben didn't have a vote, but Maria or Marie had two votes, and so like it just adds a whole nother level. Do you either of you think that they kind of do that on purpose?
I think so, at least personally, but I don't know that I picked up on it as quick as I would have liked to. But also, don't know that I love the option of forcing somebody to have a disadvantage. Yeah. Meaning,
hey, give them the option to do the challenge or not.
Right. I'm on the losing tribe. This person picks me to go. It's completely random. And the challenge is so difficult that it's really, really low odds of me succeeding. And I have to do it. At least give me the option to choose. But it does add some randomness to the game that switches it up. So I don't hate it, but I also don't know that I love it. I don't know. Brandon, what do you think?
So I, for starters, like I've been on social media, the Survivor community has kind of seen the journeys as an overall negative, and I think it's just simply due to the success rate. But on the topic of, like, I've been pretty open, even dating back to last season, about how I feel about taking the votes away from players. Like, last season, at I think it was 9 players left, a third of the tribe didn't have a vote. So I don't like the fact that there's so many opportunities for players to lose their votes, because obviously the name, you know, being able to put somebody's name on the parchment at tribal council is the most important, you know, one of the most important things you can do in the game. So I don't necessarily love that. I would honestly, and I know they do it because it got old of, like, just looking up in a tree and somebody finding a hidden immunity idol, and that was the end of it. So that's why we have all of the different kind of twists and turns with the beware advantage of, like, you know, part one, part two. And I know I'm rambling on here a little bit, but I don't even know if I'm answering the question anymore. But
no, it makes sense for sure. And I'm with you. That's where I like it, that it mixes up the game, but I don't like the taking away the votes. And that seems really, really liberal, meaning that we're throwing a lot of those out there in the game. That should be, like, the worst possible thing to happen. And that's happening multiple times to multiple people, or in this case, multiple times to the same person. So I'm really curious to hear what you guys think of how this is actually going to play out for Hunter.
Well,
so sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I think you're about to say what I was about to say. Hunter technically has lost his vote twice.
Yeah, so I don't really know what that means. And so Hunter found the beware advantage. So he lost his vote until his tribe loses, where he can earn his vote back. Or earn a hidden, earn an immunity idol. I'm stumbling over my words here, but earn a hidden immunity idol. But there was the caveat that if your tribe doesn't lose, you still have the opportunity, which happened. And we know, based on teaser for next episode, that the merge is happening. So we don't really know what that will look like and how difficult it will be for Hunter to earn that idol. That being said, that piece of it has seemed pretty obtainable. That beware advantage, once they find the clue, everybody so far that has done that has been able to get that idol. But on the journey part, he lost his vote at the next tribal council. So if he doesn't find the beware advantage and get that idol, how will that work? And is it 2 back-to-back tribals, or I don't know.
So I would look at it this way if I was Hunter. So he's guaranteed, just based off of failing the journey challenge, he's guaranteed to not have his vote next tribal. So in my eyes, it kind of buys him some time to do part two of the beware advantage.
Touché. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's kind of how it would just work out. Is even if he completed the beware advantage, he still has that other, he lost his vote, so it is what it is, and move on. I guess at that point,
the only advantage to finding the idol beforehand is he could then play it and keep him safe on the week he doesn't have a vote.
I guess, but
that's true.
But can he play the idol? Because if you don't have a vote, you can't do a shot in the dark.
You can't do a shot in the dark.
You can play the idol, though.
That's in lieu of your idol.
Okay.
Or that's
in lieu of the vote.
Yeah, that's in lieu
of your vote. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So that would be the only advantage, but you're right. That does give him basically an extra week that.
But
an extra.
The other side of this is they're going into the merge, and they don't always go to the same beach that they're on. So what happens if he goes to a different beach where that's not necessarily Ed anymore?
I'm sure. Well, that's why they said if your tribe doesn't lose, there will be further instructions. So I'm sure that comes into play, because he's not just going to not be able to find it and not gain his vote back. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that they stack because he lost his vote twice. So he's technically lost. I mean, lost it 2 weeks, right?
No, he's lost it at least 1 week. And
at least, but if he doesn't find the hidden or the beware advantage idol, then he would lose it. He would continue to lose it until he finds
it. Yeah, he could lose it for 4 weeks, for all we know, if he can't find it. So, not a great situation to be in, but like you said, seems like the second part of the beware advantage has been pretty easy to do.
Obtainable, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we can kind of jump into that after the journey, kind of the leading up into tribal council. There wasn't a ton there. Obviously, Seago was figuring out what they were going to be doing there, strategic talk. The big thing that kind of happened there was Jim knowing that, hey, I actually don't have a vote because I took the beware advantage, so I've got to go find that box now and complete that so I can have my vote tonight. Because she knew, or kind of seemed to realize, that she might have been on the outs, and so she went out, started looking for that, and ended up finding the immunity idol. So let's, what'd you guys think of that? Touched on that just before tribal, but then we can just hop into tribal.
I'm sorry, ask that question again. What did we think of what before going into tribal?
I was just saying, obviously, we didn't have much before them before tribal. Seago just talking. What did you guys think about, like, Jim and them following, like, her finding the immunity idol and all of the kind of strategic talk?
Yeah, for me, like I said earlier, Jim kind of turned into a bit of a villain, and this was kind of the final straw for me, where she approached all the guys, and I think whoever said it earlier was spot on. She was using that as a way to try to get information to see if she needed to play her idol, because she desperately wanted to be safe. But I think people saw right through it. And I was really hoping that she would go home this week, how the episode played out. I wasn't convinced that she would. I really thought it was going to be... what's his name?
Ben.
Ben. I really thought it was going to be Ben, but I'm glad that it was her.
Yeah. I thought the second part of the beware advantage was kind of interesting. It was, because it was different than what Tiffany had to do. Tiffany had to do like the Wingdings language and decipher that and go get the key. But Jim had to help me through this. She had to use the machete as essentially a ruler, a measuring device, and she had to measure the perimeter of their boat, the tribe's boat, the width of their tribe's sign, and then the perimeter
of the water.
Okay, thank you. And then she had to do it was the boat times the width of the sign plus the tree mail, the perimeter of the tree mail. So it was 12 times 2 plus 4. So 24, 28. And then the next step of that was she had to go back to where she originally found, dug up the chest, and measure 28 machetes away from that spot where she dug up the key. And that spot was not in a very discreet place, who's right on a path, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Almost kind of looked at like an opening or a conjoining area of like where a couple paths maybe kind of came together, but it was in the middle of a path. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you see it quite often where players do stuff like this, like beware advantage, whatever, you know, looking around for idols, doing all kinds of different nonsense, and they seem to somehow go undetected. It always amazes me that they managed to do that, because that was like right in front of everybody.
Yeah, I definitely thought she was going to get caught. It definitely surprises me that more people don't get caught, or we don't see that more.
Especially because she dug up the key, and then it didn't look like, unless they just didn't show us, but it didn't look like she put a ton of effort in like covering that hole back up. It looked like she just walked away from it.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Sure. For sure. Yeah, it was, I don't know, the whole thing from the lead up to, of all that to tribal, their tribe is definitely interesting. It was a fun tribal. I felt like this was, I mean, shoot, honestly, this was the first tribal without Banu. And you could see people were really playing the game, even though they still continued kind of that vibe tribe mentality throughout the whole thing. You could just hear it in the way that the questions were being answered to Jeff, that we're not really giving away any information. And I don't know about you guys, but Maria and
Charlie.
Charlie, yes, had me going. The way, because they seemed like they were in the middle and trying to decide who they wanted to go, Ben or
Ben or Jim.
Yeah. Ben or Jim, yeah. So that, the way she was smiling and she wanted Charlie out, and the way he's kind of seemed down a little bit, he wanted Jim out, kind of made me think that he was going home, that Ben was going home. So I was like, I don't know. They had me going. I was not expecting Jim to get voted out.
I was fully expecting Ben to go home, and especially so Charlie, I don't quite remember what Charlie had said, but Maria responded to it and said, well, remember, we need to separate emotion from game. And whenever she said that in tribal, I was like, oh, she's voting Ben out. That's, she's trying to tell Charlie that he needs to separate his emotion from the game. And I wonder if she was saying that to herself just because she turned around and ended up voting out Jim.
True.
Well, that, and I think Jim at one point said something along the lines of, like keeping the people around that you trust, and it almost kind of panned over to her or to Maria, and was like, that made me think, oh, like she even said before she trusts Jim more, so it, like, they're keeping her. But
and so Maria, when she voted, I don't know if you guys caught this, but she used her extra vote, but whenever she wrote Jim's name down, she wrote her name down in two different ways, so it didn't look like it came from the same person.
Yep, I did notice that.
Yeah, small detail.
Did she actually use her second vote?
Yes.
Did Jeff read off four names for Jim?
So, yes.
I thought he read off three, and the third one, I thought he said, like, after the third one, I thought he said, that's enough. Like, that's enough votes.
There were only, so Ben didn't have a vote.
Right.
There were six votes cast. Ben didn't have a vote, so she had to play her second vote.
Yeah, because Ben got two votes.
Ben got two, but I thought Jim only got three.
Mm-mm. Ben got two. Oh, Jim had two.
Jim got four. votes against Survivor Wiki.
Right. What I'm saying here is it was 2-2. Jeff rode or read another vote, and it was Jim, and then read the final vote to be Jim, and that was it.
That's right. Yeah, because I actually was, for a second, thought it was going to be a tie.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I must have just missed it, and Jessica did too. I mean, we were both watching it. I was like, wait a second. Did she use her second vote? Because I thought he said that, you know, that's enough, Jen. It's your time to go after the third vote for her.
Mm-mm.
So, okay. I just missed it then.
Yeah. Jim goes home, and I'm happy for it, just because I like Ben. I think he's been like super fun player to watch this season. But
I see what you did there.
I don't know what I did.
Ben has been.
Oh yeah, yeah. He does rock, and it would not have rocked if he got sent home.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of Ben.
Ben has been rocking. Yes.
Yeah, he's been rocking. So, Survivor of the Week?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Kick us off, Brandon.
I'll kick us off. So, for me, this, I have to pick. There's a lot of different ways you could go with this one. Like, I was kind of like, and I'm going to maybe stumble over some picks that you guys are thinking of, but I was kind of thinking of Maria and Charlie, Maria or Charlie rather. But I have to celebrate Yanu, and I'm going to give Q Survivor of the Week this week because he hit that final shot for Yanu to win immunity. He worked through the adversity that he was going through with being tangled up in the knots. All of Yanu was able to come back from that. And then seeing Q try to put together some strategy with Hunter and Tim at the journey of like, hey, I know a way that we can get to the end. Here's what we need to do. And especially, you know, being at that ultimate high and seeing him at the beginning of the episode where he was basically ready to go. We kind of got to see like him at his worst, kind of go to him at his best at that spot in the journey. So Q for me. Logan, who you got, or whoever.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I think Q has been on my top or my Survivor of the Week a couple times so far. So for me this week, I'm going a different route, whatever you want to call. For me, I am going to choose Hunter this week, with him finding the advantage and then having the chance to get the immunity idol. I think he has been playing is playing the game really, really well. And I know he technically lost his vote because of the journey, but with him finding the beware advantage and all of that, I think he's set up in a good spot. And so that, for me, give him the Survivor of the Week.
Two strong picks. I was with you on Q. I was going to go with Q. I won't, since you chose him, but yeah, solid pick, setting himself up really well. And Logan, I'm with you on Hunter. I like Hunter a lot. I'm surprised you picked him with him getting some disadvantages or potential disadvantages. But I do think he's a strong enough player that he can use those and kind of overcome the disadvantage and use the beware advantage as an advantage and not let that harm him. So definitely a good pick. I just, because I don't want to pick the same people as you guys, I'm going to go with Charlie. Just the way you've kind of seen him come into his own and just kind of find what seems like a new sense of self-confidence and like, man, I'm, I'm kind of in this power position. I'm in this unique strategic relationship with Maria, and we have all the power. We get to decide which way this tribe goes. I think he played that really well. Just the way he set up his gameplay for that tribe, when there's a lot of strong players on Sega and it was really anybody's game. I just think he set up himself really well and could be in a really good position for next week.
Like it.
Last two things. Let's, I guess three things. One, are you guys excited for next week? It looks like teasers are talking about the merge. How do you think it's going to stack up? I know we talked about it a little bit, but.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I think that they're going to do the whole earn the merge thing where, you know, they split into two teams. One tribe wins, earns the merge. One tribe loses and has to go to tribal. And then there's going to be a 13th person that gets to pick and play their odds. But I think they're going to do the whole, like, two tribal thing next week. So I'll be interested to see who gets split up and what happens there.
Forgot about that. Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah,
I would agree with that. So definitely excited to see how that goes. But obviously, the merge is the next kind of step in the game. So always, always welcome for it. So, and we always, anytime the merge happens, that our show is kind of plugged into the season. So
hashtag merge feast. Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. And Brandon, you said it earlier. I like the pre-merge game, but I would be willing to skip it all and go straight to the merge. I love it. This is where it feels like the season is finally starting for me. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Second of the three things is very first episode, or kind of pre-first episode. I don't know if you guys tuned in or not, but the three of us kind of did almost a blind draft pick just based on picture and brief description. And I'm just going to rub it in because I am ahead. I've only had one person voted out. Now, my winner pick, who was different from our tribe, that's a different story. But as far as the tribe that I picked blind that day, I'm ahead. So you guys got some catching up to do.
So you're saying
on that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just depends on how you're looking at that and scoring that, because if it's in March Madness terms, point where in March Madness, then your pick to win it all, you have the least amount of points available left. So yeah, in that sense, you're kind of at the bottom.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do better picking a team without information than you did picking a winner with at least one episode of information. So what's up with that?
Hey, it was one bad call, and you know, I went back to basics and picked a winner that was actually on my team, because that's where I'm thriving right now. So, so for those of you that don't have those names in front of us, I originally picked Banu. I'm an idiot. Don't know what to say. He was never gonna win. I'm not going to even justify it, but when he was voted out, I repicked Hunter. Logan, I believe you picked Tiffany, which Correct. Is a solid pick. And Brandon, you picked Tevin, another solid pick. So
it's the right pick.
I think I could be crazy here. Could be the three of us in the final, and that would be awesome. With an asterisk, I guess, because I failed with that pick, but it's okay.
We'll take it. Hey, you know what? Never forget last season, I picked Caleb, then Kelly, and then picked D. So it took me three tries. So, you know,
we're getting better. Two tries for me. So awesome. Last thing I've got is Brandon. Tell us where everybody can find us.
You can find us on Twitter at MergeFeastPod, where we are hanging out. We put all our episodes on there. Happy to see you interact with us.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in to what sounds like it's going to be a little bit of a longer episode this week. This was a fun episode for me, and I know for all of us involved, it was a fun one. So let us know what you think. Excited to hear from you all. And I think that's all I've got. Say goodbye, Logan.
Goodbye, Logan.